Good morning.
Good morning.
Neil, if we can have the first slide. So I want to welcome everybody here today. I want to just, again, take some time to kind of focus our thoughts before communion. I am personally just totally honored and privileged. I feel very privileged to be able to share these thoughts with you. Yet our text this morning comes from John 20, verses 3 through 8. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. So this is one of the, this is John's version of the resurrection narrative. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. So there's so much to talk about here. And yet, interestingly enough, what I really want to talk about is what's not in this passage. But we'll get to that in just a little bit. Yet, in the book of John, his major theme throughout his book is all about belief. It's all about believing or to believe in. It's used 98 times in his book, always used as a verb, yet brilliantly designed with his clear purpose that you may believe in Jesus. In John 20, 31, he says, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So throughout John's book and his gospel, he claims that Jesus is alive and real. More than just in heaven, which many people can believe that he just simply raised and went up to heaven, but his claim is that he's still here. And that we can still have full knowledge and fellowship with him forever. However, you have to believe. Now, this whole issue is, what's belief? What's it mean to believe? But John gives you a key. It's a particular kind of belief. It's a particular kind of faith. Not just any kind of faith. Not just a generic faith, not just a general kind of faith, but a saving faith, a saving belief. So it's a particular kind of belief in the real Jesus. Yet, if we look back at that passage, we see, and all we are told that John didn't just see. Interestingly enough, Peter saw, and that's all we're told. But John went in and saw, he reasoned, he furiously put it all together, and he believed at that moment. Now, this is very interesting. The word for belief in the Gospel of John has a very, very interesting little grammatical secret that I'd like to share with you today, because it's impacted me deeply and forced me to put my faith into a whole new perspective. So if you read through most, if not all, of the English versions of John, you will continually find that it says they believed in Jesus. Whenever the word comes up, believed in, like in John chapter 12, verse 11, Lazarus was raised and they believed in Jesus. John 3:16, whoever believes in him. John 14:11, believe in me when I say I am in the Father. Throughout the gospel, it is the term belief that is usually followed by the preposition of in, at least throughout the English translations. Yet, when you look deeper, It's never, never the word believed in. Next slide. It's never believed in as the preposition. And the preposition, again, is that modifier. But throughout the gospel, he uses the word believed eis, E-I-S, believed into, or entrusting oneself to. So why do we look at the Greek? You know, the challenge is in those days, everything had to be written in words of economy. And, you know, in the Greek version, there's 5,600 unique Greek words in the Greek Old Testament. In our English today, 400,000 words that we have options. So that's why we kind of take the time to kind of pull away the meaning, because again, the translators oftentimes have to also, in their economy, try to figure out how they're going to make this work. Yet, if you only believe in Jesus, it's rather abstract, rather vaporous, rather general. But by believing into God, believing into Jesus, believing into the resurrection, it means so much more. What does it mean? A personal giving of oneself. Next slide. So the human brain thinks in pictures, so I'm giving you a picture. And so this is a picture of Charles Blondin, a famous French tightrope walker, first to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope in 1859. This is 1859. He ended up crossing Niagara Falls 17 times, where during his act, he would do a lot of additional theatrics. He would push a wheelbarrow. He would carry very large objects, hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And people would come out to him and they'd watch. And what a man, what amazing. He's just a tremendous athlete. What skill. Yet the story goes like this. So one time, the Crown Prince of England came to see him. It was one of his acts. And after the show, Blondin comes up to the Crown Prince and says, "Do you believe I can carry you across Niagara Falls safely?" He says, "Sure," says the prince. "I've seen you carry much more weight than I am. Are you ready to get on my back?" And he says, "Not on your life." Now, that's a little apocryphal, but I like the story. And why not? Here's the difference. He believed in Blondin, but he didn't believe into Blondin. Let me give you another little more personal example. So, my two grandchildren, Max and Penelope, they're swimming in the pool. And they're both the same age. They're just a month or two apart. And Max is not a swimmer. He's a clinger. He's a clinger on the cider. And Penelope is a very good swimmer. And so Max is watching Penelope, and she's diving off the board. She's swimming down to the bottom of the pool and picking things up, all the time wearing goggles under the water. So Max is watching her. He's surmising. He's thinking about what he's seeing here. And he walks over to me, and he kind of bends down, and he says very quietly, he says, "Papa, do you think when she's done, I can have the goggles?" I said, "Sure." So we get the goggles. We put them on him. I turn around to do something else. He jumps right in and had to be pulled out coughing and sputtering. Convinced that the power of the swim goggles and all the evidence that he put together is that if I had the goggles, I can swim. So what John is trying to say here is that it's one thing to believe in Jesus, but it's a whole nother thing to believe into him. Next slide. So let's make this practical. Do we do things that are absolutely scary unless Jesus is real? Do we do things that are absolutely scary unless Jesus is real? Are you willing to have integrity at work, where it might cost you work, might cost you your job? Are you willing to say no to others? Are you willing to share your faith with others? Take risks. Step out on him. Be committed. For some of you, it might be easy. But for others, it's like getting on the back of a tightrope walker across Niagara Falls. That's his manager. Are we willing to lean on, depend on, trust in? So ask yourself, what do I believe into? Is it the real God? Or is it a form of God that I've come up with, that I've created? Is it the real Jesus, really as he is? Is it someone, this Jesus, who might make me uncomfortable? Maybe I've been hiding from him for a long time. Maybe he has to come after me. Yet when he comes, he will revise all your understandings of him. So, as we segue to communion, in the beginning, when we looked at this passage, we see the steps that John lays out as far as us coming to belief. Certainly one of them is intellectual, looking at the evidence, looking at everything that's there. And I know a lot of us have come to faith in that way, where it just makes sense after we've looked at all the evidence. But it's deep thinking and cognitive. And number two, it's also a personal giving of oneself. It's believing into. It's personal. It's experiential. It's emotional. And some of us have come to faith in that way. Yet the two are like two wings on a plane. Yet at the end of that verse that we talked about, John goes on to say in the quotations, is that they didn't yet understand that Jesus had to rise. On the road to Emmaus, he also says to the disciples there, they didn't understand that he had to die and rise. So the challenge for us is realizing that this real Jesus that we're trying to come into a real belief in is likely different than the vision that we've conjured up in our brain. And we need a community. We need others in our life to demonstrate those thoughts, those qualities. It's hard for us to come up on it on ourselves. So we need each other. And that's why I love coming to church and seeing everybody, because these are the people that help me come to a greater vision about the real Jesus. Because left to my own, my vision is way off. I can try. I could do my best within my 6-inch space, but it's real hard. So, that's why we have communion, is based on this understanding that it's a whole worldview change. This resurrected Jesus is different. It's not just coming back as a human, it's different. It's a whole new creation, and the creation began at that moment. Let's pray. Father, I pray that by sharing these words and looking at the deeper meaning, that somehow your will be done a little bit more here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Thank you so much for this time together. I pray that our worship service will only go on to glorify you as we try to put these practices into mind, where we believe, we think, but we also give ourselves. And we also recognize that we need each other. Pray all this in your son's name. Amen.